to me in verses 9 through 14 today. 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. The title of today's message is Signs of Salvation, Walking in the Light. And I started out this book of 1 John. This was a letter that he wrote to the churches that he was connected with, and the churches that most likely he had helped start, and was sort of a shepherd over, and we started out these messages right at the first of the year talking about loving life and really being able to get a real sense of joy in this new year, and we also talked about confessing sin in the next message, and that we would sin less as we desire to be sinless. So we're in a process of becoming more like Jesus every day. And today we're going to be talking about walking in the light. And all of these come together for the rest of the book of 1 John to bring us to a point that we can really know that we know that we know where we are going to be when we take our last breath on planet Earth. That we can really know that we have that relationship with Christ. That we can really know that we are in Him. You know, I talk to an awful lot of people that say, well, no one can really know. No one can really know. The Bible says we can know. And so I want you to be able to have that confidence. Not so that you can go on and live a sinful life and know that you'll be okay. That's not what it's about. It's so that you can know that you are safe in Christ so you can serve Him with all your heart. You will not hold back. You can do it joyfully. You can have the power of the Holy Spirit as you go forward. You can sense His presence. You can experience His will. You can live a life of discernment because you're not all tipsy-turvy wondering if you even have that relationship at all. I want you to be able to know you have it. And I also want you to be able to know if you don't have it so that then you can get right with God. Amen? That's the point. That's the goal. And today we're going to be talking about one of those evidences or signs that you do have salvation. And that has to do with walking in the light. Let's go ahead and read these verses if we could. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word if you're able. If you have to sit, there's no judgment. I just like to take a moment to stand as we read it because we are acknowledging this is for me today. This is for me. God is speaking to me today. And to show that respect that He is speaking to us. So this comes from 1 John chapter 2, starting at verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. Forgiven you for His name's sake. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, you young men, because you are strong, and the Word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we look at who this letter is directed to, I pray that we can find ourselves in that description. I pray that we can confidently say today that we know this letter is to us because we are part of the body of Christ. I pray that today we can say that we confidently know that this letter is written to us as well because we are walking in the light. That evidence is true of our life. And Father, I also pray today that if any of us would say, I don't really think that sounds like me, that they would take a step towards you today to make sure that they have a right relationship with you. And Lord, we can all experience small doubts from time to time. Let us not hide when we feel those doubts. Let us take them to the throne of grace. And Lord, if we have any questions about where we are with you, I pray we not be afraid to ask you. Lord, show me where I am with you today. And you said if anyone lacks knowledge, we should ask God, who gives without judgment and who gives liberally. So, Lord, please pour out your knowledge and your wisdom on us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's unpack this just a little bit. How can we know that we'll be in heaven? Well, we have these different signs. We have these different evidences of salvation. Do you love life? We found that in 1 John 1:1-4. He is life. If you want life, if you want to really experience rich life, keep getting closer to Jesus, because that's where we're really going to find it, guys. That's eternal life. It never goes away. It never dies. It can't be taken from us, even if we're put in prison for it. You could still have the joy of the Lord even there. And if it ever even came down to that, we'd be killed for our faith. We can leave this world with joy, knowing that we're being faithful to God. But you know, the one thing that dims that is if we're not really walking close to the light in that life. And so another way is that we want to confess our sin to God. We really want to be truthful with him. And you know what we found in those areas of 1 John there, chapter 1:5-10? We found out that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Amen? Isn't that awesome? It's like a promise he's given us, but it's a conditional promise. So let's be quick to confess sin. Another way that we can know that we'll be in heaven, one of those signs of salvation, is if we sin less, so we have less sinning going on in our life. Do you experience that? I pray you do. I know, like, whenever I first got saved, I thought, well, man, that's really good. Sin's all taken care of. I'll never have to worry about it again. It didn't go far, and I realized, well, I still do have to probably work on this. But here's the thing. I've seen a condition of finding less and less sinful activity in my life and more conviction over it whenever I do dabble in it. Amen? And a desire to actually be sinless. Man, I can't wait for heaven. One of the things I'm looking most forward to is I won't even be tempted to sin anymore. I will be sinless. But I'm not going to wait till then to start working on it. I think I can experience some of that freedom now. And that's what I want. And then walking in the light. That's what we're talking about today. And so let's jump right on into it. Love is light. And guys, here's the deal. Love is light. Next slide. And hate is darkness. Can I get an amen to that? If you're really walking in love, don't you just feel your countenance rise? Your eyes are up. Boy, when you start to experience hate and unforgiveness and stuff like that coming against you, I'm going to tell you, there's a temptation that all of us feel to act upon that sometimes. Do you ever notice when you start to fall into it, can't even hardly raise your eyes above the ground anymore? It brings about a feeling of darkness that you just can't seem to shake. It's like whenever you participate in that, it's like drinking poison yourself and expecting the other person to die from it. Guys, if you're drinking the poison, really, it's not killing anybody but yourself. And then it could be killing your witness and also your ability to pray for that other person, so it is hurting them too. And what we need to do is realize, guys, we can't say that we're in the light and continue to hate our brother. And some would say, well, I'm glad it went ahead and narrowed it down. It said brother. So that means I only got to love people in the church, right? Now Jesus actually explained it a little better for us, didn't he? He made it a lot more broad. We're going to get to that. Don't worry. But here's the deal. If we're saying we're in the light, we're hating our brother, we're in the darkness until now. Let's personalize it whenever we read it. Let's not say, hey, yeah, that's for that other person over there. It's for all of us. God doesn't give us the okay to hate anybody. And he says, he who loves his brother abides in the light. That's where I want to be. I want to be in the light. Amen? Don't you want to be in the light? Don't harbor hatred in your heart. Some would say, man, I don't hate anybody. Well, you want to go by Jesus' definition of hate, right? He said that if we hold something against our brother for no good reason or whatever, it's hating. And if we're hating, it's like murder in our heart. So here's the thing. We got to take Jesus' definition of things and go off of that. So his standard is quite a bit higher than ours. Can we say amen to that? Okay. Sometimes, I'm going to go ahead and say, sometimes love needs to start as an action, because love is a verb, okay, as well as a noun. It describes, you know, it describes something in us and something that we experience, but it also describes an action that we give. If you want to look at what love looks like, I think let's go ahead and get a biblical definition on this. Keep your finger there in 1 John. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We're going to read the description of love. Biblical definition of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 13. Do I have a volunteer that would like to stand up and read this loud? All right. All the way. Man, thank you for reading that. So, what does love look like? It suffers long, right? It's kind. It's not rude. Can any of us say that we're doing that perfectly? Then we're going to have to keep working on it. When we experience darkness, you know, we need to ask, is there a part of my life maybe I need to work on here in loving somebody? Go ahead and reach out as an action to do these things. You see, many of these things that are being described are action words. These are things that we do. I love the description of love, that it's not going to rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And guess what? That'll never fail. Do I get an amen to that? I have never extended love to anybody in this world that it ever failed. It will accomplish what God desires for it to accomplish. Not only just in that person's life, maybe they don't want to receive it. Maybe they don't receive it right away. But I can tell you one thing, it sure does me some good whenever I do it. And I'm getting closer to God and I'm walking in the light. And you notice it goes on about that part about when I was a child, I spoke as a child. Guys, you know, it's sort of understandable when we have to correct our children on these things. How do children act? They can say they love, but it's kind of a surface thing oftentimes. You know, it's an emotion, and then their next emotion whenever somebody takes something from them is, right? When you were a child, that was excusable. When you were first in Christ, it's understood that maybe we're going to, there's a learning curve. But it needs to be something that we're growing in as we grow, amen? And so we need to see it in our lives, and that is the definition of walking in the light. That needs to be the description of my life if I'm really walking with Christ. And so as we look at that, I can tell you there's a huge benefit for you when you do it. Don't look for just that the other person reciprocates it. That's not why we're doing it. We're doing it so we could be closer to Christ. And in fact, Jesus went on, and if we want to look at a broader understanding of who we are to love, in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 46, you have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Say amen. Come on, say amen. Yeah, we have a hard time with that. I have a hard time with that one. But you know, Jesus didn't just say this as sort of like a light teaching. He wants us to actually do it and grow in it. Guys, if we can learn to love our enemies, there's nothing they can do to hurt us. Nothing that they can do to hurt us. He says to love our enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rains on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? I don't know if you guys are on our messenger list, but Shelly sent out a message not too long ago, and it was a Ray Comfort video, and it had to do with, you know, forgiveness. It had to do with learning to love your enemies. And he told this kind of story about an atheist who came after him and told lies about him. And he said, you know, he compared it to something that another wise person had said, don't let the same bee, don't get killed by being stung by the same bee over and over and over again. Okay, I'm sure I butchered that up, but that's the point. So like once that bee stings you, you get away from it, or you get it away from you. You get rid of that so that you don't let the same bee sting you more and more and more by holding on to hatred in your heart. Let it go. Forgive. Do something good to them. Then you can let it go. It's not going to hurt you anymore. And so I want us to learn how to really walk in the light. How important is it for us to walk in the light? Well, how many of you guys go out into the darkness without a light on purpose and say, you know, I want to trip over things. I want to run into things. No, when we really want to see, you know, we get out of light. Jesus is the light. Let's walk in that light. And he says, you know, here in 1 John, that the best way to walk in that light is don't hate your brother. He says, but he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. People who are walking in hatred, and you know, you may not even realize some of these areas in your life that you need to forgive, and you may be holding on to hatred for another individual that you don't even realize it. Because maybe you've redefined it, or it's gotten hidden, or something of that nature. Let's just ask God to show us if there's anywhere that we need to deal with this in our own lives. I was in the shower this morning and getting ready to come to church, and I was thinking about a particular area of my life that I really need to make sure that I have fully forgiven and letting go of. And so I think it's kind of a consistent thing that we always want to look at. But I can tell you, nobody wants to walk around in the darkness and stumble and hurt ourselves. Amen? I remember one time I was... Have you ever gotten up in the middle of the night, you didn't want to turn on any lights because you don't want to wake everybody up, and you know I'm doing the Frankenstein walk? Have you ever done that? Well, there was a door that was partially open, and my hands went on both sides of it. Well, you know the rest of the story. My poor grandmother did that one time and blacked her eye, you know? So like, the moral of the story is, let's turn on the lights. Don't walk in the darkness. And so, you know, I'm just going to say, don't expect unbelievers to get this. A lot of times we tell this to other people and we say, you know, you need to be the one to let it go. You need to be the one. You need to say you're sorry. If you'll say you're sorry, then I'll forgive you. But here in this one, I think that love is one of those things that God wants us to extend in an unconditional way. And it's only going to make sense to born-again Christians. You know why it only makes sense to born-again Christians? Well, there's more than one reason. But partly because we're supposed to have the Holy Spirit living in us once we've been born again. So God will help open our eyes, right? That's a big one. And another reason why born-again Christians should be able to get this one is when we understand that Jesus loves us. Guys, he don't love us because we're real lovable sometimes. Okay? He loves us because he is good. He loves us because his love is unconditional. That's why he went to the cross. Not because we were going to be such a great prize, but because of his great love. So born-again Christians are the ones who can really accept this teaching and understand this teaching. And that's why it is one of those marks or a sign or an evidence. Because, guys, if we're unwilling to love and to lose the hate, it's an indication that we need to get our life right with Jesus. You see, he says specifically, you know why I'm writing this to you guys? He calls us little children. He wasn't just writing to Solomon. He was writing to little children in Christ, right? To new believers, to God's children. And he says, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. He's saying, I'm writing this teaching to you because you should understand it because you've been forgiven. Unconditionally. You've been forgiven. And I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you young men because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you little children because you have known the Father. Guys, that's why he's writing to us. And you can know that you've overcome the wicked one if the word of God abides in you, guys. That next slide in verse 14, he wants us to know it. I have written to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. He's saying if you're accepting this teaching, if you're understanding this teaching, it's because you have the word of God abiding in you and you have, past tense, overcome the wicked one. Don't you want that to be your theme of life? I have overcome the wicked one. So let's walk in the light. And you know, I'm going to end the teaching with a little bit of practical part of it. You know, we might say, okay, how do we get to there? How do we deal with this? How do we know that we're dealing with it? Well, Jesus made it clear in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verses 29 through 30. Jesus just said simply to remove anything preventing us from entering into heaven. So what does that mean to remove it? He just lays it out there. It's radical teaching. And it is hyperbole, but it has a very real teaching in the midst of it, showing just how serious it is that we do what we need to do. He said, if your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than your whole body be cast into hell. Now, we've all got both of our eyes for the most part, right? And my eye has offended me, and I haven't literally, you know, gouged my eyeball out of my head. And so I think what he's really meaning to say is the latter part of that is true. I would be better off to enter into heaven with only one eye then end up for my whole body to be cast in hell. Do we get an amen? Amen? So he's saying whatever it takes to get the sin out of your life, do it. Because he's not okay with the sin. He wants to set us free from it. And he doesn't want us to continue to stumble over the same point in that to mean that maybe we're still lost. He wants us to deal with it. He wants us to take it seriously. He wants us to look for the evidence of our salvation so we can know that we 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 are with him and in him. Verse 30, and if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Amen? So, we come to a moment of decision. I don't do the call to the altar to try to emotionalize you into some kind of decision. But I am going to ask a question before we have this final song. Is there something in your life, in my life, needs to be a personal thing that I need to cut off? that may be keeping me from getting as close to God as I want to get, that may be hampering my walk with the Lord, that may be causing me to still walk in darkness, and especially, am I still hating somebody in my heart? Then let's do something about it today. Let's cut it off. Isn't it awesome that we have the power of God to help us do it? There is no offense that anybody's ever done to me that is any worse than what we did to Jesus. And while he was on the cross, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they're doing." So let's forgive others. Let's not hate. Even if they're ruining our world, let's decide today we're not going to hate. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we look at these verses today, this area of Scripture, when we look at the whole of Scripture, we can see that you will help us to walk in the light. It's not something that I can do on my own, Lord. I'm just going to stand right here and admit that if all I do is try to tell myself to forgive and tell myself not to hate anymore, I probably will just be caught in a vicious cycle. But if I give it to you and it's your will to help set me free from it, you will set me free. And so, Lord, we are looking to you today. Help us be set free from any hatred we may have in our hearts toward our brother or even our enemy. God, help us to walk in the light. Help us not to take any chances on this one. If we know there's something we need to deal with today, let us deal with it and ask you for help. Let us confess it to you, and maybe just in private prayer. Maybe right where we stand, but we may need to bring it to the altar. We may need to pray with somebody else. However you lead us, I pray that we will act upon it today. In Jesus' name, amen.